Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 75, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
Season finale. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, March 29th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
I want my daily Jack, daily Jack, daily Jack. I want my daily Jack, daily Jack, daily Jack.
Miles Gravy, Jack's Glib. That is courtesy of Trite Gang, collabo with Hannah Soltis. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yeah, you know, I want to thank all the... This is Macy Gray.
I host the Daily Zeitgeist, it is dope. Always fire takes, I'm not humble. Even when I'm high, it's clear. Miles Gray runs this shit right here.
Yeah, wow, I sold his Hannah for that one, you know. Her voice is mad raspy. Shout out to you, Macy. Not related, just for the record.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people think we are.
Well, that changes everything.
And UC Berkeley basketball player Ed Gray.
Also not related.
Yeah, not related. And the only reason, you know, people ask about him, he's in the same class as Jason Kidd.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and the host of the They Tried to Bury Us podcast, Mr. Tamer Catan.
Yay.
What's up?
Thank you, guys.
Welcome back.
That was a pretty impressive Macy Gray.
Thank you.
She was at no joke, she was at the Haha Cafe not even a month ago, and went up and did a set.
Oh,
she did comedy.
Oh shit.
She goes like this. She walks up to the stage. She goes, "Listen, I just got two jokes." And then her friend in the back goes, "You got four, bitch." And she was so nice. She took pictures with everybody. She was super sweet.
How was her set? Pretty good?
Nah, I mean they were kind of like dad jokes,
you know,
like,
okay.
It was like knock knock and two dudes walked into a bar type.
Oh, hell yeah.
But with her voice,
yeah.
She's such an interesting person, and like just her speaking is cool.
Right. So she just deserves to be on a stage one way or another.
Totally.
Yeah.
She was there for like 3 hours.
Damn.
She like sat through two different shows. I think she's researching comedy or something because she was really into it.
Interesting.
She didn't do 3 hours like Dave Chappelle.
No, she did two jokes.
Okay.
And told her friend to shut up about the other two.
She got four. Just calling her out. Oh, Tamer. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're going to kick things off on a health and wellness tip because robots can predict when you're going to die.
So don't go to the doctor.
With startling accuracy. We're also going to talk about how the just firmament of reality is now tipped against us because we are by default 2 pounds fatter than we were in the 80s just without eating the same number of calories. We're going to talk about how that's possible. And then we're just going to do a check-in with the Mueller report, with the media's, you know, reaction to it, how we are dealing with that reaction, all that shit. We're going to talk about Facebook banning white nationalism and how that problem has been solved, and a controversy on the Billboard country chart. But first, Tamer, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, so my most recent internet search was, I've become a new fan of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And I'm deep. I'm deep into the B-sides. And so I looked up the history of She Done Already Done Had Hers Is.
Oh.
And it was really cool. Like RuPaul talked about how, like, it was, they left a club in Atlanta one night and they went to Crystal's, this chicken spot in Atlanta. And some girl went to grab food and she goes, She done already done had hers.
And that's
and now it's a part of Drag Race history. So it's like, so I've been Googling a lot of like RuPaul and drag queen slang because I'm a big fan.
I mean, 90% of our slang comes from drag queens.
Right?
So much comes from shade, getting dragged.
Right, getting red. Like there's so much. I had no idea how much culture was being impacted by drag culture.
Yeah.
I didn't know RuPaul was like tight with the B-52s back in the day.
Oh, he was in Rock Lobster. Yeah. He was in the music video.
Yeah. They came out of the same scene in Athens, Georgia.
Shit.
And
okay.
REM, all those people were hanging out together.
Damn. It was so cool.
Entire 80s. But yeah, RuPaul is incredible.
One of my favorite, there's like one B-52s video I watch a lot on YouTube. It's them doing Private Idaho, like live.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I love them. Because you're living in your own Private Idaho.
Is that a real song?
Yeah. You're living in your own Private Idaho. Like, you're living in your own Private Idaho.
That dude.
It sounded like a white person doing an impersonation of another white person.
Yeah.
Like the way they pronounce Private Idaho.
Yeah. Like, and I was a kid, I loved it just because I thought it was Fred is the
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, exactly.
His way of speaking just as a kid, I thought was so if you see a faded sign at the side of the road, and you're like, whoa.
Over enunciation.
Yeah,
hitting
man.
The shit out of those syllables,
hell
right?
Yeah, yeah, sir.
Man. Hitting the consonants extra hard. Man, that, by the way, the episode with Amy Miller on that song on Punch Up the Jam is so fucking good. People should go check that out. What is something you think is underrated?
Long Island Medium.
Long Island Medium, damn.
I love that show.
You are like...
I'm a skeptic, big time skeptic, but there are not that many great actors in New Jersey. You know what I mean? There just aren't.
Long Island.
In Long Island, I mean, sorry. You're right, you're right. It's Hicksville, technically.
I mean,
because
New Jersey, I know great actors
you're
from
right.
New Jersey.
You're right. But I was like, dude, there's she's got something. Well, I don't know what it is.
Haven't you seen her get utterly just stumped, though? Wasn't there like a thing where someone tried to corner her with some like she was caught out not fully
really
mediuming.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, to a certain extent, I mean, I think a lot of it is good guesswork, but
yeah,
I don't know. You know, I like to leave room for magical shit.
When you dabble in the occult, I'm sure there's sometimes when it's bullshit and you're just trying to, you're like, it's an awkward conversation essentially where you like promise to do some shit that you couldn't pull off, but like you don't want to disappoint the person. But then I'm sure there may be other times when I actually don't believe in any of it. But like if you did believe in it, that could still be an argument that, yeah, sometimes it's bullshit. But
I don't
want
to believe in it and my brain does it, but my heart keeps going, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The producers, man, they got you.
Yeah. It's pretty compelling.
I love her hair. I mean, I believe in her hair.
Right.
Something's
fixed
keeping
her
that,
hair, by
the way. Something's keeping that hair.
She's
up.
Evolved her hair.
Yeah, over the years. Yeah.
Yeah, her daughter became a hairstylist, and her daughter, I think, is so funny. She's like just naturally weird and funny.
Oh, she's on the show?
She's on the show, yeah, and she's super funny.
And is she a medium?
No. Oh. She's just a regular girl who complains. She's like, I just wanted to buy cupcakes, Mom. And she's like, she's like in there reading the cupcake cashiers. like talking about her dead brother.
Oh, wow.
She's like, and she's like, I just wanted a cupcake.
Just need to eat these red velvet cupcakes. Trying to talk about his uncle.
Yeah. But there's got to be some sort of supernatural explanation for how high and just consistently large her hair is on a regular basis. That's,
yeah.
It's unbelievable.
She's impressive, though. There's something that she does have a gift. Yeah. Is it speaking to the dead? I don't know. But there's a level of like empathy and being able to read people or read energy or whatever. There's something that she does.
Right. Yeah.
Forget the label. That's kind of impressive.
Yeah. There's like a whole world of sort of carnival barker type, like tourist trappy, like entertainment people who like used to, you know, be a big deal in their little corner of the world, like back in the day when people would just like travel through a town and check shit out. And then, you know, we don't have a record of those people. So we're going to be the first culture that has a very thorough record of our people who have that like ineffable gift that's like, huh. Yeah, I guess they do have something. I can't really say what it is. There's not a word for it. But,
yeah.
And her nails and hair are fucking
fire. Her nails are bananas.
Anyways, what is something you think is overrated?
You said they were fire, huh? Yeah. I like in Jack's dreams, he's like brushing his like
Well, I'm just picturing, like I'm giving a lecture in the future, like as a historian of this time, you know.
But you have the hair and the nails, though.
Exactly.
In your TED Talk.
That's right. What is something you think is overrated?
The phrase, get her done.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't say, what's up, anymore.
Right.
Right? But get her done has been around in, like, country culture for way too long. They keep using it. It's not clever.
All right.
The people that yell out, get her done, are often people who are unemployed.
Yeah.
What are you getting done?
Okay.
You didn't get anything done.
All right, all the man. Leave that, me alone.
It makes me very
upset. Just
because
I say it a lot.
Yeah, right before we walked in the studio.
Yeah.
He's like, all right,
let's
get it done.
That's how we open every recording.
Did Larry the Cable Guy invent that? Must be like a colloquial phrase.
It's been around.
I refuse to believe
that. I don't think Larry invented it. I think Larry put a collar on it and made it his.
Oh, is it the Marine Corps?
Oh. Is it a Marine Corps thing?
That's what Nick Stump is claiming right now.
Well, and I agree, the Marine Corps are a passing fad.
Yeah, that they should evolve that language too. That's like a if the Marine Corps is a nationwide brand, that would be like a nationwide anchor person using a regional slang. It's not right.
Yeah.
I love your outrage over
this. I'm upset.
What is it about it? Like, let's really unpack this.
Okay.
Is it the culture that it's coming from? Is it the phrasing itself that rubs you the wrong way?
Here's what I hate about it. I think some of the hardest working people in the world are immigrants. And I feel like the people who embrace the get or done phrase are like talking about hard work. And it's like, no, you don't own hard work.
Right.
The people that you claim to hate, those are the people who really deserve that title.
Damn.
So I don't like that get or done because one, it's a stupid phrase and it's bullshit. Like the people who say it don't embody that mentality. They're not hard workers. They're people who are entitled.
Interesting.
Wow. I'm brown.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, that was, yeah.
That was a much better way of explaining that than I was expecting. That was
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
good.
No, that's like very, it. Very smart. Very, very
I just don't like divisiveness at the end of the day at all. Like, you know what I mean? When I visit the Middle East, I defend America. When I'm in America, I defend the Middle East. I went to college in Europe.
Right.
And in Europe, I defended America. In America, I defend Europe. I just don't like people hating other people based on like BS stereotypes. Even the one that I just used to explain how much I hate.
Or catchphrases.
Yeah.
But I get it. Your whole thing is, look, bro, if you don't get her done, get her fucking done.
Get her done. Right. Exactly.
Don't use it cheaply.
It's like a homeless guy wearing a shirt saying billionaire in the making. No, you're not.
Wow. Yeah. You're like, okay, just because you drank a keg, you didn't get her done.
Exactly. Right. I'm tired of people pointing to shit, but never hitting home runs.
Yeah. Oh,
don't
wow.
pin it. Don't point at the back wall.
Damn.
Unless you got a bat.
Yo,
in your hand.
You got the wild immigrant kid mentality right now. It's like shit. My mom's just like, "Oh, you celebrating already?
Right.
You did shit.
Earn that like, shit.
It's my fifth birthday.
Yeah. I'm tired. Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. What have you done in your 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this word? Pneumonia, idiot. He's silent. Fall the fuck back.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true?
Oh, man. So I don't know how this ended up happening, but I went into this deep internet dive into like time travelers and like the most authentic people or closest to proving that they're real. And there's a guy who goes by the title of Citizen 3014. And he's from the year 3014.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really getting into the idea of time travelers.
And did he, okay, I'm sorry, go on.
So I think this myth of Citizen 14 is something that needs to be investigated more deeply.
Wow.
I think they used to suck, but they time travelers have absolutely stepped their game up.
Okay.
I think their predictions are getting better. I think the outfits are getting more sassy. I think the planets that they're talking about, where they came from. And not just this guy, but also the guy that talked about the Beavians on the Howard Stern show, Riley Martin.
Okay.
Well, he talks
not familiar
about,
with his work.
Well, he sells these, he'll design like a symbol, like a Native American symbol.
Okay.
He was an old black man, but he wore a Native American headband.
Okay.
And then he would give you symbols, and the symbols were like invitations onto the Beavian spaceship.
Oh, okay. Has anybody ever taken him up on that?
Well, he passed away, but he was a lunatic, man. He had a radio show.
Did he pass away, or did he transcend
his physical existence.
Right.
His physical existence passed,
realm.
But on the planet, he had 14 kids by aliens, but on Earth, he only had two sons.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
And during his radio show, he hated the ad to pee so much, so he just started peeing while doing radio, and you could hear him peeing into a bucket.
Yeah. Oh, no.
He's amazing.
So your whole thing is like time. So from that point, the time traveler brand has begun to really become a
it's
little
starting
more
to feel
sophisticated.
Real.
Oh, right.
It's becoming, it's more sophisticated and simultaneously feels more organic.
Right, right.
Like I'm starting to believe
continue
it.
Talking like in a straight line while peeing? Because I think that would be like some
it's
sort
impressive,
of magic
right?
trick. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, because like I think your brain is not designed to just be like
talk and pee?
Talk yeah. and pee, yeah.
It's like it's patting your head and rubbing your stomach in a circle.
Well, I got a new slash for you, Jack.
Oh, wow.
I've been peeing the last fucking 5 months on this show.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Just quiet.
And I'm always blaming it on the dogs that people bring into the office.
That's right.
I'm like, damn, Andy peed on my chair again. Huh. You need to do something. One last question about Citizen 3014. I just want to take a wild guess here. Did he step onto the scene in 2014? Because that would
God,
be the,
you're good.
That kind of branding.
You're like the Magnum PI of the internet. How did you know
like,
that?
He's just, wait, for real?
A lot of these time travelers are not great with math.
Yeah, but he's like 2014. Oh, this would be trippy. I'm Citizen 3014.
He did go a pretty even Steven number. I will tell
but
you.
But none of them talk about their technology, right?
They don't talk about their technology. But I will talk to you about one quick thing. Is so one time I did mushrooms while listening to Riley Martin, and then my friend and I went for a walk, and we were staring at the Tao Records building.
Oh, I think you told me this.
Did
before.
I tell you about this?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I stared at it my whole life. I've never noticed anything, but there was an irregular pattern.
On the blinking light.
On the blinking light. And then when I was sober, I looked it up, and it actually spells Hollywood in Morse code.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about this last time.
I'm so excited. I use it too much.
Just want to help you out. You know what I mean? I don't want people to think you're a one-note guy. It's like, you have Tamron. We talk about time travel and looking at the fucking blinking light again.
Well, they're all connecting now.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right,
it's like mushrooms, time travelers,
and
Long
so
Island Medium.
These time travelers are distinct from the ones who show up in pictures from the past. And it's like, oh, Nicolas Cage was in this picture from 1892
or whatever.
You know.
I think those were toe dips.
Okay.
And now these are people getting in the jacuzzi with us.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Got it.
Toe dips.
Interesting.
That's the time travel lingo. Those are toe dips, Jack.
Right. And then
2014 toe dips.
And then for actual time travel, we use the grossest metaphor.
Yeah, Mr.
Getting in a jacuzzi together.
He's full jacuzzi.
Jacuzzis are pretty gross. You're right.
And now we're going full jacuzzi.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's talk about AI. The
movie?
No, not the movie.
Ah, okay. Sure. I don't really have much to add then.
There is a AI that like is using machine learning to basically predict when people are gonna die. So a group of scientists.
Jeez.
I mean, this makes sense.
It's like it is now.
If you've ever done a life insurance policy, like, you know, there's an entire industry that is just devoted and like constantly updating its methods of trying to find out when you will die, like most accurately. And they can make a lot of money on like adapting, you know, how they evaluate the data that you give them. So scientists in the UK took 500,000 people. Between the year 2006 and 2016, and fed a bunch of different variables that they were able to get from those people into a bunch of different systems, and then asked those systems how likely were those people to pass away from 2006 to 2016. And this algorithm was able to identify the people who would die with 76% accuracy.
So in total, how many people died at the end of that 10-year study?
At the end of the 10-year study, it was 14,500 people, which is just like
sure,
in keeping
just people's
with,
lives or whatever, yeah, right?
They die primarily of cancer, heart disease, respiratory diseases. And so it's really interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, that's insanely, like all the, you know, models that doctors and insurance companies have been using up to this point are usually below 50% accuracy. And so they got up to 76%. And they also said that the variables that the AI was able to determine like were the most beneficial to determining if you were going to live or die were not the ones that the other models emphasized. So the other models looked at age, gender, smoking history, prior cancer diagnosis. And another one of the other models looked at body fat percentage, waist circumference, the amount of fruit and vegetables that people ate, and skin tone. And this AI determined that it was mostly useful to know exposure to job-related hazards, air pollution, alcohol intake, and the use of certain medications.
Damn.
Yeah.
Those are the departures from the traditional models yeah. where they're like, and that's how we'll figure it out.
Yeah, those were the things that jumped out as like the AI determined that that would tell you how likely people were to die.
It's strange that the survey size was so massive.
Right.
Right. I think they picked a massive number in order to make themselves look accurate. Right. Like if you told me here's 50 people, guess all their favorite colors, I probably wouldn't do that well. But if you told me, here's 500,000 people, guess their favorite color, and I picked blue,
right.
I'd probably have a much more impressive number.
Yeah,
sure. But when you have a data set that right. big, though, and you can repeat it over, like, what? So 76% of 14,000, that's pretty good odds.
But here's what I mean. It's death is all like individual to us, but then right. they do a sample size that's so big that it's no longer about individuals. It's about a population.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. It's like, yeah. it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And who are these 500,000 people that said, yeah, I want to know when I'm going to die? Oh, well, did they agree? Or did
so, no, they were just giving, it was basically they agreed to be part of a health study.
That's yeah. gnarly. I don't like
yeah.
that.
I mean, I don't think they were identified or anything.
They
I mean,
called like, them they up. They're told. Like, hey, you dead yet? right. Well, you might want to get that bucket list going.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where you look at that 76% accuracy. I wonder how much just sort of, you know, what insurance companies call acts of God or something
right.
would factor in.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that was unexpectedly predictive was on-the-job hazards. Like, if you have a really dangerous job, if you're, like, working in a construction place, like, I'm sure there are, you know, you're exposing yourself to a ton of different opportunities to have a act of God or accident type thing
right.
happen.
Or a nail gun.
Yeah,
right. But in your head while you're trying to shoot some cans.
Like actuaries, I do think this is going to be a place that AI is going to stun us within our lifetime because actuaries are just constantly iterating on this. Like that is, there's an entire huge, like very, you know, wealthy industry that is constantly churning, trying to figure out better methods for figuring out when we're going to die or, yeah. you know, being able to predict how risky people are, different lifestyle choices are. And so we'll, I think,
does it say
get
who funded
really good
who,
at that.
Does it say who funded it?
I mean, it's the
insurance companies.
Well, it was in the UK, I think. So I think they tend to have like better rules about
yeah,
stuff
right.
like that. But yeah, so that's good. Also makes me feel better about my fruit and vegetable intake. Was it they found that wasn't that predictive of whether you're going to live or die?
Yeah. So. Just, you know. So, workplace hazards.
Yeah. And then another study that it's just interesting. It says that they looked at, I think, 36,400 Americans between 1971 and 2008, and the physical activity data of 14,419 people between 1988 and 2006. They grouped the data sets together by the amount of food and activity, age, and BMI. And they found that a given person in 2006 eating the same amount of calories, taking the same quantities of nutrients like protein and fat and exercising the same amount as a person of the same age in 1988 would have a BMI that was 2.3 points higher. In other words, people are about 10% heavier or fatter than people in the 80s.
Why?
So the theories are like they were just like, I don't know, chemicals that we've been exposed to.
Thanks, scientists.
Oh, wow. It seems like we're getting better at identifying those. They said also it could be medications that were, you know, we've changed a lot the medications that we're taking. And then the microbiome is the thing that I think is an underrated aspect of human health is, you know, they're doing things like poop transplants that really help people with all sorts of diseases. And it sounds crazy, but like a lot of our digestion and, you know, the whole machine of our body is determined by this entire biosphere that's living inside your gut. And it's a very complicated thing that we haven't really studied that much.
So poop transplant is so, it when I go to a music festival and I fish people's shits out of the porta potty?
No.
I take them home.
No, that's not. That's
what do we call that?
A weird fetish.
It's very Trainspotting.
But so I think what we need is we need one of our time travelers to take poops from the 80s.
Thank you.
Bring them forward to us.
See what I'm talking about?
And then transplant the 80s poop into our poop and all good.
Yes, we can.
Wave of the future, so to speak. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But We Loved is a new podcast about queer history coming May 15th. I'm Jordan Gonsalves, your host. Growing up, I thought being gay was the worst thing I could ever be. The gay history I learned was tragic.
Jerry had died of AIDS, and it's like, what is happening?
It was survival. That's why it's called survival sex.
But as I interviewed queer elders, I realized there was another history that I had never been taught. A history of courage and perseverance.
I wanted to take control of my story and not be ashamed of it.
And it was a history full of love.
The joy we found in saying husband again and again and again was incredible.
And while learning this new queer history from my elders, I realized they had so much wisdom to pass down.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
From iHeart Podcasts, I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and this is But We Loved. Listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so we wanted to just do a kind of a leisurely check-in with the Mueller report. We've learned it's over 300 pages, which is way longer than the two sentences we have quoted in the bar summary. It's probably more than that. But yeah, there's a whole lot we haven't read. But in the meantime, people are continuing to, you know, deal with the fallout of the bar summary. The right has repeatedly spiked the football, you know, the Fox Newses and Drudges of the world.
Oh, they're loving it.
They are ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ooh, wow. They're loving it. I mean, if you look at also too how the coverage has changed, like Daily Beast, a few people were comparing. It's like, that's weird. You spent the last 2 years saying Mueller was a hack.
Right.
And then now it's like, yo, this guy's fucking the savior.
Right.
Just listen, there's just a quick mashup Daily Beast put together of how the tone changed very quickly at Fox News.
Special counsel Robert Mueller's team is a pack of partisan hacks.
We can't trust anything coming out of the Mueller investigation.
Mueller is not only out for blood, he's out to save his own butt. If you think you can trust the upcoming Mueller report, think again.
How are we supposed to trust that Robert Mueller, this investigation is on the up and up?
I'm proud that we were on the right side of justice these last year and a half.
I don't trust Mueller.
The Mueller report came back with no collusion and no obstruction.
You should never trust Robert Mueller.
Mueller has proven he cannot be trusted.
He clearly found no collusion.
Special counsel Robert Mueller's corrupt. How can you ever trust the Mueller investigation?
Well,
Robert Mueller's partisan, extremely biased, hyper-partisan.
Robert Mueller's team is hyper-partisan.
Mueller's hand-picked minions are a bunch of Trump-hating, Hillary-loving, partisan hacks. Special counsel Robert Mueller and his partisan hacks. I just don't trust Mueller and his team.
I'm not sure I trust Mueller's team, never have.
Mueller's report on Russia election interference finds, as we have been telling you, zero collusion.
They are a gang of partisan hacks.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So we that's get it, funny. Joke. And I think there are other versions of that with primarily MSNBC people, you know, saying some wild over-the-top shit about, like, that we now know with, like, perfect clarity that Trump conspired and that his, you know, kids are going to be let out of the White House in handcuffs. And so a lot of things have changed, I think, on the extremes.
Well, what's changed for you?
Well, I personally don't think it's useful to claim Trump is an idiot or to evaluate him as one, whether he is or not. He has like a certain genius in what he does. Like the no collusion thing was just very shrewd. He redefined the argument to what he knew would work for him given the facts, and doing all of his bad stuff out loud, like the obstruction of justice out loud, was also very shrewd. Like, he's good at, for whatever it's worth, and whether it's just complete instinct and like a broken brain, but he is good at playing this particular version of the media very well. And I feel like the media got played very well by him.
Or yeah, or just yeah, I think the hyper focus on the word collusion definitely. I mean, I don't know if he's he does have a instinct for sure.
Yeah.
On how to do it.
Yeah.
Genius. Well, you know,
there's different kinds of genius.
But yeah. He could be the evil genius.
He's definitely in the category of evil genius. I think like the liberals have a tendency to have a better Rolodex of artists. And that's where you can see it when we have a Democratic president win. We've got really talented artists that support. And I think conservative parties have a great pool of people who are great at corruption.
Right. That's, you know, their, yeah.
they
that's
really
their art
are,
form.
They're excellent at corruption. Liberals suck at it.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Mueller report even had to happen is a mark on this president.
Right.
You know, the fact that people did get arrested already.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't get a grand slam doesn't mean that all the other people around him that he claimed were good people were proven to be traitorous towards our country.
Not to mention he was an unnamed, unindicted co-conspirator in another crime. Like,
exactly.
Bruh. And again, I think it's even people are so quick to just take the William Barr summary as what the actual Mueller report is. And I think that's people need to pump the brakes on that and constantly be telling for people who just sort of watch the news in a very like unengaged way to really remind people of that, because a lot of people are just like reading the chyrons and being like, oh, Mueller report, no collusion, okay, no conspiracy, okay, so there must be none.
They're watching it the way I think a lot of people watch politics the way I used to watch cricket. Like, I didn't know anything about cricket. I don't really
Test
know the
cricket or
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I was in Dubai with a friend and all he told me was, this is our team.
Right.
I'm not going to explain all the rules to you, but this is our team. And anytime something happened, I didn't even understand it. I just went, oh, well, that's our team. So I'm going to root when something is positioned as good for our team.
Yeah. Everyone on my side is cheering right now. Oh,
exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's what a lot of these people are doing. They've made us tribal, which is the exact opposite of what this country is about. The word united is the most critical word. And that's the fact that he's dividing the country and the Fox News displays news the way that they display it. It's just, it's so un-American.
Yes. I would say, like, I won't be any less suspicious of his administration. I won't be any less, you know, completely suspicious of Fox News as just a mouthpiece for a very cynical point of view. Like Glenn Greenwald from The Intercept, who's a leftist journalist, like, he got a lot of things right about the Mueller report and was like voicing a lot of concern about some of the stories that were being reported and not corrected when they turned out not to be true. But then he went on Tucker Carlson the other day and Tucker Carlson was like, you guys got it right. They were just like, you know, jerking each other off for fucking getting like a couple parts of the story right. And it's just like, yeah, like sometimes a broken system or like a broken clock is going to be right twice a day, so to speak. Like that's how Fox News was right on a couple of the stories. But like to go on there and like congratulate them is like, I think, inexcusable for somebody who's like supposed to be trying to, you know, we're in a point in our history where we're at war over the truth, and to go on like the primary mouthpiece for, you know, distorting our reality and like congratulate them on getting a couple of the details wrong is pretty inexcusable.
And isn't Mueller Republican?
Yes. Yeah.
And they kept saying he's hyper he's hyper partisan.
I mean, again,
Republican.
I think that is their art form, is like this, in addition to corruption, is like knowing how to play this
100%
media game, like setting expectations. Like they invented the thing where you portray the person you're about to have a debate with as the greatest orator since fucking.
Well, I think that's Trump's real genius.
Yeah.
How he plays the media is that he owns one of the biggest networks.
Right. Yeah, that helps.
Whatever he says, they repeat without question.
Yeah. Amplify that. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why he's so good at it.
One trend I'm seeing is that the right is using the idea that there was no evidence that the Trump administration colluded with Russia to a degree that was criminal. There are apparently counterintelligence probes that are saying, you know, that's a lesser bar for proving anything. You don't need to like prove it in a criminal court for it to be an intelligence situation. But I'm seeing people on the right then acting like that means that Russia didn't interfere in the election. They're basically using this wave of energy in the news cycle to then be like...
And that's patently false.
Yeah, like Ann Coulter had a story on her website, which big fan, always first site that I check in the morning. Mm-hmm. But she was, you know, listing all these MSNBC statements that were, you know, now look crazy. And so like alongside ones where they're saying the Russia conspiracy to help Donald Trump get elected was apparently wider, deeper, dirtier, more sophisticated, more pervasive than we thought, was like right alongside ones where it says that Trump colluded. And it's like, no, one of those is true. Trump was helped by Russians.
Yeah.
The Russians explicitly interviewed.
They just can't prove that there was someone on the Trump side of things coordinating with the Russians right. to help this thing.
He did
along.
It on TV. Right. Yeah. He stood in front of a TV camera and said, "Hey, Russia, get those other emails for me."
Sure.
He said in front of everybody.
And yeah. I think this is where it gets a little tricky, right? Because collusion isn't really something that has like a proper legal definition.
Right.
And by trying to chase that down, we're already playing a flawed game.
Yeah. And which Trump created.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, if for any girl that's ever dated a guy who's a cheater, and I think Trump is a cheater is part of his nationality.
I don't know. Really?
Yeah. Well, okay, that part we would argue. But as any girl and any time traveler will tell you, the Mueller report is not the end, it's the beginning. Any girl that's ever caught a guy that she was suspicious of him cheating on her, and if it merited an investigation and the guy got out of it, it was the beginning.
Right,
he
right,
was
right.
gonna get caught.
You smelled
at the next thing. Shit's coming.
Yeah.
Right. Every talk show I've ever seen somebody go on that says, "I think my man is cheating," dude was cheating.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I saw a couple more episodes where that wasn't.
There's a couple more. There's a couple more. I'll give you that.
No, you were telling the truth. Oh shit, I told you.
I think this is the
my
beginning.
Favorite murder. It's always the husband or boyfriend.
Right.
It's just always. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess also it's even hard to even say that anything is incorrect because everything we do know amounts to a lot of talk and back and forth and communication between the two sides. Just because it didn't reach the level of like criminal, you know, coordination or conspiracy is one thing versus, you know, like
ethical.
Not having the laws to properly define like that this behavior is like absolutely there's no room for it in our system.
That's a great distinction, actually. He knows how to play the law. He knows how to play with lawyers. And there are legal mistakes that he found ways to prove that he didn't break.
Yeah.
But ethically,
yeah,
right. He's broken all of them.
Right. And then again, just to talk about this momentum, right? He gets the bar, okay, William Barr's the Mueller report, and uses that to say, "Oh, I'm totally exonerated. Everything's all good." Mm-hmm. And then goes full gear. Like, he turns the shit up to 10 about being like, okay, now, send memos out to newsrooms being like, ban these people from ever talking again because they were caught lying. That's not true. That's not even close to being what the case is.
Yeah.
Or, you know, having a rally last night in Michigan to just basically be like, hey, no collusion. Like, this has definitely energized the president in a very bizarre way where you're like, you can't.
That's good, though.
No, of course.
Because then he'll get confident.
No, right. And again, even with healthcare. Put out the thing with DOJ saying, yeah, we're going to defend this ruling in Texas to the Supreme Court that Obamacare should be completely just gutted. So the momentum's taking him in a weird way. And then you now have, you know, Republicans and the House Intelligence Committee telling Adam Schiff to resign because he was saying he's like, there's a lot of clear evidence that something was going on.
Yeah.
And it was really bizarre to see immediately how like all nine Republicans on there just signed a letter being like, oh, you need to resign for like lying, even though Devin Nunes was doing the fucking most to actually obstruct this investigation 100%. As much as he could. And then, I mean, so credit to Adam Schiff.
So who asked him to resign? So all the Republicans?
It was all the Republicans, but it was Mike Conway from Texas, who was basically just saying, we have no faith. Like he pulled up in the committee and was like, we have no faith.
How many Democrats are on the committee?
I'd imagine like 9 also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then he's the, got it.
But now that, yeah, he's, but now he's the chair because, you know, the Democrats are in power.
Right.
So his rebuttal to this was actually pretty good because they were really trying to spin this as like, when we were running this committee, everything was done in good faith. We were very honest. Devin Nunes wasn't getting stuff from the White House and then pretending he did. You know what I mean? There was so much bizarre shit going on, and just because Adam Schiff was like, no, I smell shit, and we have to keep going,
right.
They're using this to be like, anyone who even suspected the president is an evil, treasonous, like fucking traitor.
Yeah. And we're just trying to figure out what Russia
did.
They're
trying to turn it into Russia.
Right. Well, James Comey, in an interview with Lester Holt, was saying, imagine if President Barack Obama was working with the Iranians to possibly put together a better Iran nuclear deal that would help the Iranians. And you had his national security advisor designate flirting with the ambassadors to Iran, lying to the FBI about it. Imagine if Malia or somebody was trying to set up a back channel with Russia or Iran, and you're going to tell me the FBI shouldn't look into this? That's unheard of. Anyway, I just want to play Adam Schiff's sort of response to Mike Conaway.
Awesome.
Because he was like, oh, really? Like, you're trying to act like I'm acting dishonorable? And this was his response.
My colleagues may think it's okay that the Russians offered dirt on a Democratic candidate for president as part of what was described as the Russian government's effort to help the Trump campaign. You might think that's okay. My colleagues might think it's okay that when that was offered to the son of the president, who had a pivotal role in the campaign, that the president's son did not call the FBI. He did not adamantly refuse that foreign help. No, instead, that son said that he would love the help of the Russians. That Paul Manafort, the campaign chair, someone with great experience in running campaigns, also took that meeting. That the president's son-in-law also took that meeting.
Facts.
That their only disappointment after that meeting was that the dirt they received on Hillary Clinton wasn't better. That when it was discovered a year later, that they lied about that meeting. That the president is reported to have helped dictate that lie. That the campaign chairman of a presidential campaign would offer information about that campaign to a Russian oligarch in exchange for money or debt forgiveness. That campaign chairman offered polling data to someone linked to Russian intelligence. That the president himself called on Russia to hack his opponent's emails. That the president's son-in-law sought to establish a secret back channel of communications.
Yeah. Anyway, he goes on. This is all facts, he's saying. These are not deniable. These are all things that are out here in public. People have pled guilty to this shit.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing that I think is bad faith with even the leftist journalists, like calling out the media and being like, all of the Russia is our generation's WMDs. It's like, no, they really uncovered some very shady shit.
Right.
Like, the mainstream media did do some good reporting, and to act like the whole thing was overblown just because MSNBC did like fuck up and like go crazy over it that's not the direction we should be taking it in, like this self-reproachful.
And I mean, even if you want to slightly defend what they were trying to do on MSNBC, like they were looking at a set of facts and or a lot of journalistic reporting too of things like this and saying, this looks so fucking bad. Yeah. I think, yeah, maybe at times they went from just sort of being like, this looks bad to like, this is what the whole fucking thing is without fully knowing.
Yeah. Right.
But again, I think just to sum up what Adam Schiff said at the end, he said, he listed all that shit. And he's like, you might think that's all okay. And this is a quote from him. He said, you might just say that's what you need to do to win. But I don't think it's okay. I think it's immoral. I think it's unethical. I think that's it's unpatriotic. And yes, I think it's corrupt and evidence of collusion.
Bravo. Right.
So, they have no response to that because they all saw that with their own eyes. It's just now a matter of like, well, how much do we want to, forgive that? Because we're wearing the same jersey.
Yeah, right. A point that's being made a little bit in sort of the background of this one version of the story that's out there in the forefront that is like, no collusion, Trump is vindicated, is this point that there are kind of two standards of what the various people investigating the 2016 election are trying to live up to. Mueller was trying to live up to the highest possible standard, which is, can you win a criminal court case?
Right.
Like, will this stand up in court?
And prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there is a criminal conspiracy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, there's also the level of counterintelligence. That's like the CIA gathering intelligence, trying to find out what's actually going on in real time and, establish their best guess at, what we can put together based on the information that we're able to find out using objective investigation. And people are saying that there are still counterintelligence, like investigations happening into the 2016 election, into the question where that Mueller ultimately concluded was kind of a non-starter from a criminal perspective. But this guy, Frank Figliuzzi, who was a former assistant director for counterintelligence at the FBI, was like, we never thought that Mueller would bring a conspiracy charge, and focusing on the absence of criminal indictments for conspiracy doesn't really do anything. If all we do is apply criminal standards to investigative findings, we're missing the point. This thing started as a counterintelligence investigation, and it needs to end as a counterintelligence investigation.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. 300 pages is suspiciously short.
That's right. Yeah.
After all this time, even if it would have said 3,000 pages, I would have still thought that sounded short.
It needs to be like a tome that's brought down like on a forklift.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the time that they've spent on it, and the way the Mueller, I mean, the quote that I've heard most often about Mueller is, you know, when they ask Abraham Lincoln, what would you do if you had 2 hours to chop down a tree? He said, I'd spend the first hour and a half sharpening the axe.
Right.
And that's what Mueller was like associated with that quote. He is a detailed person. He spends a lot of time. He won't go after a case that he doesn't know he can win. Like, it just sounds really, really suspicious.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on a copy. Yeah.
I don't think it's the end.
Is it on Amazon?
I think
yet?
It's the beginning.
I mean, yeah, in terms of length, I don't know if that necessarily indicates one thing or another. I think the most suspicious thing on its surface is basically that William Barr was allowed to basically poison the well.
Crazy.
With his summary. Before the actual report came out.
It's crazy.
I think that is by far the most aggressive in your face, like, sums up.
Right.
And it might be, there might be some lies in his summary.
Yeah. Who knows? And I think that's why, you know, a lot of the leadership on the Democratic side is, you know, they're saying, we got to drag somebody up here to explain this, whether it's William Barr or Robert Mueller. Like, they need to, you know, we'll do some on the record talking. We can do some closed door stuff, but, you know, the explanation as it stands is not sufficient.
Yeah. Mm. The way that these people play with lies, it's almost like when you're a kid and your mom finds a joint in your pocket and you go, it's not mine, Mom. It's this other guy's. And your mom wants to believe it, so she believes it.
Right.
And it makes me wonder if the energy and the speed that they went out with their conclusions was because they knew that a truth might be coming out that is going to damage them. So that they said, let's feed a lie that feels better so that when the truth comes out, people will resist it.
Oof. Yeah. Well,
Tell them it's your joint.
Yeah. Just light it up in front
of your mom. That's the solution. Just be honest.
I mean, that is kind of what Trump proved. He is just openly.
He's like, no collusion.
Does bad shit.
He's like, but I was doing a lot of fuckery, baby.
Right. Yeah.
Fuckery is not a crime.
Intimidate and threaten witnesses on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But We Loved is a new podcast about queer history coming May 15th. I'm Jordan Gonsalves, your host.
Growing up, I thought being gay was the worst thing I could ever be. The gay history I learned was tragic.
Jerry had died of AIDS, and it's like, what is happening?
It was survival. That's why it's called survival sex.
But as I interviewed queer elders, I realized there was another history that I had never been taught, a history of courage and perseverance.
I wanted to take control of my story and not be ashamed of it.
And it was a history full of love.
The joy we found in saying husband again and again and again was incredible.
And while learning this new queer history from my elders, I realized they had so much wisdom to pass down.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
From iHeart Podcasts, I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and this is But We Loved. Listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And there is a controversy on the country charts, which we're always staying on top of here on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yep.
No, but for the first time, a song that I might actually listen to was climbing the country charts.
Yeah.
It's called Old Town Road.
Old Town Road by Lil Nas X. And when I saw this name trending, I was like, what did Nas's son do?
Right.
I did not know who the fuck Lil Nas X is because I am an elder. But apparently, this song was blowing the fuck up. And it did a very, I mean, this kid, he's a really young artist, rapper. And this song, Old Town Road, charted like simultaneously on the Billboard Hot 100, Hot Country Songs, and Hot R&B and Hip Hop Songs.
Wow.
Let me play just a little bit so you get an idea of where this song, where this sort of the vibe is.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
Okay, that sounds good. Little banjo picking, little guitar picking in the back. Uh-oh, but y'all ready for this part?
I got the horses in the bag. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the boots black to match. Riding on a horse.
Anyway.
It's an interesting point, though, because it's almost like he's being satirical about country music, but then, but Republican parties don't seem to understand satire. That's why Stephen Colbert was like loved by both sides.
Right.
Because the conservatives didn't realize that he was making fun of them.
Right, right. Well, so that song, yes, I would say, yeah, there's some cowboy imagery in there. Got some instruments, some textures that are country. And then enters the trap rhythm, a little 808 drum kit, a little snare, hi-hats, chains, and things like that. But apparently that wasn't good enough because the Billboards, the people who run the Billboard charts were like, we're going to pull it. And this is what they said. Upon further review, it was determined that Old Town Road by Lil Nas X does not currently merit inclusion on Billboard's country charts. When determining genres, a few factors are examined, but first and foremost is musical composition. While Old Town Road incorporates references to country and cowboy imagery, it does not embrace enough elements of today's country music to chart in its current version.
That's ridiculous.
Now,
that's ridiculous.
I have some theories as to why.
Yeah, of course.
Because black crossover artists, especially in the country, I think they did not like that. And I think also when you also look at country music, here's the thing. The label calls it sort of this country trap thing. On iTunes, it was under country. I'm sure they submitted it like that. And even other country artists are kind of like, yeah, that's got some country vibe to it. Like, let it rock. Yet they found a way to say this is not country enough.
Stupid.
And I don't know what exactly the standard is, because I can play you a song by Bebe Rexha and Florida Georgia Line that is number 3 on the country charts. And I mean, listen to this.
Oh, yeah, I know the song. I love the song.
Are you a country fan?
You know what? Some. I mean, I love Johnny Cash.
So, to me, this sounds like some straight pop. You know what I mean? This is like an Ariana Grande type beat. But I guess because of the drawl or the singing style, that's enough to meet the country standard?
Yeah.
Because we can skip around this thing.
Well, let's get to the skin color of the voice,
I'm hearing
too.
The same big bass. I'm hearing the same hi-hats here. Yeah. You know, pretty, trap hi-hats?
Yeah. So dumb.
But like, that's number 3.
Huh. That song should be...
Are the artists white?
I don't know what Bebe Rexha's actual ethnicity is, but I mean, Florida Georgia Line... Again, they're not Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's really the thing. I think because it's aggressively like... I think people were looking at it. I don't know where the outrage
they're
was coming from.
They're saying, is he culturally black?
Right. That, or is it culturally country?
Yep.
Right. And how do we define that? And also, like, when you think... A lot of country songs I've heard recently have that hip-hop, like rhythm to it.
Well, you know what else it is? It's almost like you like a girl who likes you until you find out she likes other people. Then she's not special anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like these companies and these corporations and these platforms make brands by keeping us divided. What Lil Nas X did was something that was beautiful. Yeah. He turned America into a fusion restaurant, and all of us had pieces of ourselves in that song. That's a fucking beautiful thing.
Well, it's funny, too, when you think there are a lot of tweets when that song was blowing up. People were like, I hate country. Like, tweets were doing like, I hate country. And then they put on like, but when Old Town Road comes on, and then like a video of them losing their shit, it's a thing where it's actually crossing over, and it's allowing people from two genres. Like if you're into hip hop, you're
beautiful.
Like, oh, that's, I kind of fuck with this banjo shit.
Yeah.
And I'm sure their country would be like, oh, these rhythms are okay.
Yeah. What's wrong with somebody reminding us that we're all the same?
Well,
what's wrong with that?
I think, you know, why can't they just let him cross over? You know, there was Cowboy Troy. Yeah. That was a guy who was doing hip hop. And that seemed to be fine enough, but I guess it because he wasn't, you know, signaling enough or showing enough of the touch points or textures aesthetically, musically, that they're like, no, this is more hip hop.
Well, like love and inclusion and all of us thinking we're the same is not good for business. It's not, and that's why they want to keep us divided and keep us separated and separate our cultures so they can make more money off us.
Oof.
Citizen 2014.
It is Citizen 2014. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not sure what... the one thing they were clear on, because Rolling Stone reached out, they're like, what the fuck was that about? They're like, it has nothing to do with race.
Like, I didn't... sorry, we were just calling to...
I thought I left my wallet up there. What?
I bet the article was titled, I'm not racist, but...
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not racist, but this just doesn't have enough country elements that I've decided.
Right.
Ugh. Unbelievable.
But you know what? Lil Nas X, keep doing your thing, because Old Town Road.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is definitely good for the song, because 100%. I hadn't heard that shit before this controversy.
Yeah. When it was one of those songs that was like cooking on social media, like TikTok, there was like a Yeehaw challenge people were doing. And then
I've just been so busy, I haven't been on TikTok lately.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's just,
and
the tent
you're posting is not what it used to be, Jack.
Oh, man, don't say that.
I know, because you used to whip.
You're going to get my fans really pissed off.
Yeah.
At you.
Oof.
On TikTok. Oof.
Do the nay nay and all that.
Uh huh.
Hit them folks.
Are you on TikTok?
No. Motherfucker, I don't know what TikTok is.
We're going to get you an account, though.
All right. Let's add another hero to the board alongside Lil Nas X. We have the person who is suing TGI Fridays for their potato skins chips.
I don't know if y'all have seen these, right? It's a TGI Fridays chip bag, and it's TGI Fridays potato skins chips.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone's seen them, especially if you're high. You get high, you've definitely seen them because you bought them because you thought maybe this could be like a potato skin.
Yeah.
Well, tell that to Solange Troncoso of the Bronx. Because she is fucking taking TGI Fridays to motherfucking court. Because she's basically saying that, look, this is not actually a potato skin.
Yeah.
It's labeled potato skins, but this is just a, quote, mishmash of potato flakes and potato starch. And in her suit, She states that she purchased the bag of the TGI Friday sour cream and onion potato skins from a bodega for $1.99, but claims that she wouldn't have done so had she known the product didn't contain real potato skins.
Mm.
So
why doesn't somebody just give her $2?
I know. The dude at the bodega should have just given her a refund.
That's great. But you know what? But good for her.
Yeah.
For calling them out. Like, too many people take liberties with the population. Companies take liberties. Good for her for saying, this isn't right. That's not true. I'm going to go all the way to
and
court.
And I really feel this in my heart, though, because I did the same shit, like, in college, high as fuck, being like, oh, yeah, this shit sounds good, like potato skins. And then yeah. You're like, it's like, it really is like how, like, a Pringles chip is. Yeah. It's not like a Lay's where you can kind of like, oh, that's from a potato.
That's
it's like,
silly.
Oh, you compressed potato, whatever, like they said, mishmash of potato flakes.
It's like getting catfish by a chip.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
You're not a potato skin.
So, right. You know, do you, Solange.
I mean, do they have pictures of the actual TGI Friday potato skins on the bag?
Because no.
If so, that would be a
travesty. Well, that would be completely off base.
Right.
I think that's where they're probably, you know, they're doing that little gray area, walking the line, collusion thing.
Right.
Just being like, we'll put potato skins on the text. But you look at the chips, they're sad as fuck.
Yeah.
They look sad as fuck.
I mean, wow. They just look like they're like elongated potato chips.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, Tamara, chill. Look at that. That's not a potato skin.
That's not a potato skin at all.
But the word, it really evokes an experience.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. It's like, close your eyes and pretend. Think about our potato skins as you consume these subpar potato chips.
And put this potato starch.
That's yes. Like me calling myself Afro Tamar. And the girl's like, you're bald, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just a name, bitch.
It's a state of mind. It's a state of mind.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Jordan Peele controversy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's over for him.
It's over for him.
Yeah, I mean, poof.
What? I mean, look, you do
the
so well.
The whites have had it.
You put two movies out that fucking cement your place as a powerhouse in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then he had to go. I think he was talking to Ian Roberts or something at UCB. There's this discussion, and this was the quote that fired up the culture war machine. He said, quote, I don't see myself casting a white dude as the lead in my movie. Not that I don't like white dudes, he said, nodding over to his moderator, pal, Roberts. But I've seen that movie already. And then the crowd erupted, blah, blah, blah. He said, it really is one of the best, greatest pieces of this story is feeling like we are in this time. A renaissance has happened and proved the myths about representation in the industry are false.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were like, but people just take, wait, I don't see myself casting. So he's anti-white.
Right.
And he's just all, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even though his mom's white.
Okay. Well, hold on. We don't know for sure. I don't know. What I see is a black man.
Let me see a birth certificate.
No, he also didn't say anything about white women. He's just saying there are a...
White
men as lead in films are overrepresented.
That is his prerogative as a fucking director now, and that he can make the films that he wants. And I'm sorry that he's taking representation seriously and saying, yeah, I want something that is more indicative of the world I want to see or the world I see. And again,
it's his right as an artist.
The people were like, again, you knew the comments were so predictable. Like,
right.
What do you just guess? Just sort of based on the logic the right uses when things like this come out. And I'll tell you if it's an actual tweet. Because
can you imagine if Clint Eastwood said that he would never cast a black guy
in his
movie?
Literally, can you imagine if Brad Pitt said he would never? I don't even know why
Brad
they said
Pitt.
This person doesn't know who's
directing. This person just has no, couldn't even be bothered
Hollywood
to look
name.
Up a director.
Brad Pitt,
the only other movie guy I know.
And then someone goes, "Oh, well, I guess his films aren't for me then."
Yeah,
I won't
take
it. He won't need another one of my dollars.
Yo,
look.
That is fine. You guys have been boycotting like woke movies that care about representation for the past 5 years, and they've been the biggest fucking hits.
The angry conservative outrage seal of approval is guaranteed success at the box office.
It's really
essentially
been doing good things for these brands. But I honestly think like this is just one of those things. Like, it's going to look so weird. It already looks so weird to me. When we were doing our live show where we did the Zeitgeist of 1999 and we looked back at the movies and it's just all white dudes in the lead roles.
Right.
It's like, what the, like, that's weird. Like, that doesn't make sense. That's not representative. Like, it's a inefficiency when it comes to the business, because right. you're only telling stories that yeah. like are about a very specific, like that. It just doesn't, it's going to look weirder and weirder that nobody else was saying this before.
Right.
And now.
And meanwhile, like in 1999, black people have movies like The Wood.
Right.
Or like Life.
Right. Yeah. Like a movie.
The Best Man. I think we're all 1999.
Yeah.
And then
and make it real. No one's saying like make it fake. Like I don't like those commercials where a black dude and an Asian dude and a white dude are, hey, I'm like, that's, does it happen in real life? Like,
oh, it does in my part of the town.
You're right. Maybe it miles us out. But you know what I mean? Like, make it, what's wrong with making it feel more real? Make it more authentic.
Or just not that it's not real, right? That, you know, people of diverse backgrounds could hang out. But like, there is a world where there are many people of a certain ethnicity yeah. whose friend group is homogeneous like that.
Right.
And
yeah.
because that's just in the neighborhood you grew up, that happens, it happened. And yeah. clearly by looking at films with that are mostly white-dominated casts, that reality exists for those filmmakers.
And so, I mean, we're better when we're mixed. That's why port cities have always been so successful in right. history and created different kinds of revolutions. Because when we mix ethnicities, we tell better stories. We make better products. It's like DNA and thoughts are the same.
Right.
If you just mix the same ones all the time, it doesn't come out as strong.
Yeah.
You come out with pug ideas.
That's right. Yo, man, pugs are brilliant dogs.
Yeah, but they can't breathe, man. Yeah, they can't breathe.
You think if you read a pug's brain, they would be like, yo, take me out.
Kill me.
Kill me.
They create a dog translator.
Just to hear that, I'd be like, oh, my God.
You just don't want to hear like, what pugs
have. Why did you do this to me?
I'm pugs suffocating sad, on my own nose.
Yeah.
When they sneeze, it goes back inside their own mouth, man. Yeah. That's messed up.
That's why their eyes are.
Or bulldogs,
like
too. Like when you see bull. Man, I remember my. Shout out to my friend's dog, bulldog Rufio, RIP. The breathing on that dog gave me anxiety where I could be like, not high around the dog. Yeah, like, man. Yo, yeah. I can't listen to breathing right now.
Their life expectancy is like so
is it?
Low. Yeah, it's terrible, man. The. Yeah. And because they're such cool dogs.
All right,
too.
Well, you know, Mutt Gang.
Right, Mutt Gang.
Bring all the mutts out.
That's right. Well, Tamer, it's been a pleasure having
Thank you guys. It's always fun man. Hanging out with you guys and getting educated and laughing.
Where can people find you?
TamerKatan.com is the best place for upcoming shows. I'm actually starting to feature for Ismo. He's a friend of mine. He's a comic. We're doing a mini tour together June 6th through 9th at the Levity Live in Oxnard. And otherwise, at Tamer Cat on Instagram, at Tamer Catan everywhere, everything else.
Awesome. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, there's one that I saw yesterday that said, religion is like Tide Pods. It was invented to make us live less dirty, but then the dumbest people started swallowing it whole, and then death started happening.
Wow. That's really...
I like that.
Who was that? Profound.
It was me, man.
Oh, you wrote it?
Damn.
I'm an only child, so I quoted my own tweet.
Hell yeah.
That's a fucking great tweet.
Thank you.
I like how you kept that like undercover.
I know, because yeah. I felt ashamed. Did you see me? I felt ashamed to quote my own
tweet. But then it's good,
tweet.
And then I'm like, well, then who was that? And then you have to like attribute it to someone else. You're like, at not Tamer.
And then you call them and you're like, yo, man.
I want to book you.
I feel so guilty liking my own tweet.
Could you start using this on stage? It's a great joke that I just wrote for you. No, that's good. Own it, man. Own
Thank
that
you.
One.
Own it.
Also, I co-host a podcast with my mom called They Tried to Bury Us.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, please follow. And it basically, we interview a different immigrant every week. So they're all yeah. American origin stories, and they're really positive and up and inspiring, and it makes you remember why this country is so great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the full quote of They Tried to Bury Us?
The full quote is, they tried to bury us, they didn't know we were seeds.
Yeah.
Which I really, really, it's a something our Mexican neighbor told me when I came home with two black eyes one time.
I fucking love that.
Two
man.
Black guys?
Two black eyes.
Oh. Two yeah. black, what happened? Was someone's fist that big and
okay,
blacked
this,
both your
kind
eyes?
It's kind of a sad story. My dad was a boxer
uh-huh.
and he had reflexes, you know? And so I scared him one time and he hit me in the face and I got a black eye. But both my parents had to work. So I was embarrassed because my eye kept getting more black. So I went in my mom's bathroom and put makeup on my eye. So there's foundation. Then when I got to school, I didn't do a good job.
Oh, so you like sweated it out?
Yeah, so these kids are like, he's wearing makeup. What a hobo. And then they punched me in the other
nice.
Eye. Oh, no.
Give you one to match so that one.
I went over two black eyes. My Mexican neighbor's like, hey, man, what happened to you?
Damn.
I told him the story and he sat me down and started telling me, he's like, all the things that people make fun of you for, they're going to respect later. And you have to remember, this is making you stronger.
Damn.
And then he shared, and then he pointed to this thing on his garage wall and said, they tried to bury us. They didn't know we were seeds.
I fucking love that.
Damn. He's like, you're a seed.
Wise ass neighbor. Yeah, come man. He was dope. I was like, damn, what happened to your
face? If that was in a movie, that would be like considered like too, like appropriating or like too stereotypical. Like the wise.
Oh, like
Latino
wise.
Neighbor.
Yeah, right.
Like, he wasn't was that this? Wise. Well,
no, Tamara's character would have to be white in that movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's true.
Fuck?
Yeah.
He's true. Like, damn, for what happened, Jared? And he's like,
right. Miles, where can people find you?
That almost sounded like Aziz Ansari. damn, fool. So this next tweet, let's see. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like. A couple. One's from Yusuf Roach at Yusuf Roach. He said, my favorite part of Los Angeles is seeing famous people drive regular ass cars. It's adorable. Because yeah, man, that's a wave out here in LA.
I always think I'm seeing famous people in regular cars, but then I like look closer and it's not them.
I mean, I don't want to blow someone's spot up, but there's a very famous comedian who has been driving the same Subaru fucking station wagon all over
it.
Town, and you'd be like, is that him?
I
and
love
it is.
It.
Yeah, Shia, dude. When I used to kick it with Shia, I think to this day. For Bodega Boys fans out here, he drives like a shitty pickup truck. A lot of people just do the hide in plain sight thing. You know what I mean?
I like that. That's cool. I like it. I respect it.
And let me see. Another one I have is from Blair Saki. At Blair Saki, past guest. She says, the single most embarrassing moment of my life was when I was at a 12-step meeting and accidentally ended my share with, thanks, I've been Blair.
That's amazing.
She's so funny.
Yusef's also a former guest.
Yes, both past guests.
Yes. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Hoppers at Frog Avalanche tweeted, me as Luke Skywalker puts one leg out of the tauntaun because it's too hot, which I just identify with as a sleeper.
Yeah.
Maggie Mull, this is just a top-notch dad joke. I refer to testicles as Wonkas because they're in between a Willy and a chocolate factory. And then at Bird Butterer tweeted, give me the teat, boys. I'm still a foal. I want to drink milk from an areole. I can't chew hay.
Wow.
Yeah. Angry wet spider. Now
that's country.
Now that's motherfucking country, son.
Give me that teat, boy.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Actually, you know what? Let's just go out on Lil Nas X, because, just let that go in your brain a little bit.
Yeah, man.
Look, and if that...
catchy as fuck.
And look, if that infects your brain a little bit, maybe get into some country. And if you were a country person and you like hip-hop, try out some hip-hop.
I like that.
Try it all. Yeah. Try it all, guys.
Do it all. All right. That's going to do it for this week. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Take my horse to the hotel room. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the boosters black to match. Riding on a horse. Ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.